The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
We got top-ranked boxing coming your way tomorrow night, highlighted by a junior welterweight main event between undefeated fighters with a good chance to get a title shot for the winner. Coverage begins 9 Eastern on ESPN and ESPN Deportes, with ESPN Plus coverage beginning at 7 Eastern. Hey, Tim Bontemps, before we start a new hour.
Yes, sir.
I just want to show you this, and I don't know whether or not these are stupid people, but they're certainly doing stupid things.
This is leading. Ow!
This is... People jumping off a high dive and belly flopping.
I have so many questions. Why would you do this willingly?
That's the only question I can think of, but it is a worthwhile one.
Oh, God.
They say it's getting creative. I can't fathom.
Getting creative? I mean, what are you getting creative about doing?
Like,
what
do you think of this?
This is brutal.
Like? Oh.
The only thing that can motivate somebody to do that is a lot of alcohol. I can't think of anything else.
This is a collection.
I want to hang out with all of these people.
Lost a bet. Zach Lowe, as you can see, is going to join us here on a huge hour on a day with huge NBA news. And we're getting to all of it as we come to you live, as always, from the Seaport. We are brought to you by Chase. We are jam-packed on this Thursday morning. Let's roll it for hour number two, because it is time to get up with a summer blockbuster bubbling toward the surface. A four-team super swap that would reshape absolutely everything. We're all over it for you. Then, the most desirable free agent in football has put together a list. Wait till you hear which team is right at the top for Sean Payton. Spoiler alert, it's the one you think it is. And then hold everything. A voice that you know and admire makes a huge statement about Steph as the GOAT. You need to hear this, and you will in this hour of Get Up, which starts right now with baseball and the best player in the world, and it isn't close. Angels, Astros, Shohei Ohtani. When he pitches, they're great. When he doesn't, they stick. Take a look at this. This is the second inning with no score. That's Yuli Gurriel, and he has no chance at all on 100-mile-an-hour heat. And then it's Jeremy Peña going down swinging. Ohtani was cruising. Bottom of the second. Angels are up 1-0. First and second. That's Ohtani with a rip up the right field line. One run will score. Two runs will score for the Angels. Ohtani in the third with a triple. He's the first Angels pitcher to triple in a game since Nolan Ryan in 1972. And he wasn't done. Top of three, that's Jose Altuve going down. It's 101 miles an hour from Ohtani there. And then top of the sixth, it's more from Ohtani with a 3-1 lead. This is his 12th strikeout of the day. That's where he would finish. Six innings, 12 Ks, one run. He also went 2-for-4 at the plate with the triple, and the Angels win it by a score of 7-1. Listen to this. Since the beginning of June, the Angels are 6-1 when Ohtani starts. They're 6-26 with anyone else as the starting pitcher, and that's why, despite the fact that their team is terrible, he is the co-favorite to win MVP alongside Aaron Judge, who had been the sole favorite since back near the beginning of June. We'll see where that thing goes. Meanwhile, let's see where this goes. The NBA. We're officially 2 weeks since Kevin Durant requested a trade from the Brooklyn Nets. Since that time, Donovan Mitchell became a part of the conversation. And so yesterday on NBA Today, Bobby Marks proposed this four-team deal.
Let's start with two players under the age of 25 and Donovan Mitchell, Mikal Bridges, and then you add a player like Miles Turner. So that checks the boxes for Brooklyn as far as what they are looking for. Then let's go to Phoenix, Kevin Durant, okay? That checks the boxes for Phoenix. We've all talked about DeAndre Ayton in a potential offer sheet. This is a sign-in trade. He goes to Indiana. Here's the big question. Is this enough for the Utah Jazz? When you look at Ben Simmons, Cam Thomas, 5 first round picks, 4 from Phoenix, 1 from Cleveland, from Indiana, and then 3 swap rights.
So he's laying it out there. Zach Lowe, we haven't had a chance to get your perspective on it. It's a fascinating 14 possibility. What do you think?
Yeah, my first reaction is Bobby needs a vacation immediately and to put his phone down. I've been playing with 3-team trades all week, all the last 2 weeks. He just went straight up to 4. My reaction is, look, there are parts of it that make a lot of sense, mm-hmm. right? Everything's wrapped into one. Everyone gets part of what they want. My criticism or whatever would be, number one, I'm not sure Utah really is interested in Ben Simmons, who hasn't played basketball in, I've lost count about how many months it is now because I stopped counting. It's been too long. And number two, although Donovan Mitchell is a blue chip asset, Mikal Bridges is a really good player. Miles Turner's good, but he's been available to be traded for like the last 3 years. I think the Nets look at that and say, for Durant and Simmons, yeah, we know Simmons is sort of a distressed asset. His value's low. I'm not sure that's enough for them, but all four teams definitely sit down and have a meeting about it. It's a good construction.
And so then let me come to you on this, Bontemps, because as we sort of try and put these deals together, and it's all complicated. Again, Wendy, I thought, said it really well yesterday. It's hard enough to get four people to agree on where to go to dinner.
That's right.
As every day goes by, the possibility of Durant, and I guess by that extension, Kyrie Irving, staying in Brooklyn, does it become more and more likely with each passing day?
Absolutely. As we get to the end of Summer League here, teams start to go on vacation. Everybody takes a bit of a step back. And the time to get these kinds of deals goes on hiatus with the league, right? And so I think as we get to the end of Summer League, there has not been the kind of offer that's materialized for Kevin Durant to this point. I don't think it's going to materialize soon. And the Nets' leverage to try to change that is to show that they are willing to go into next season with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant on the team. Right now, teams don't think they have leverage in this situation. That's the way they get leverage. So I think at this point, my expectation is they're going to be on the team at the start of training camp.
Timmy Legler, how about you? Of all these possibilities, which we saw that 14 trade, you've got the possibility of running it back in Brooklyn. Which one do you think is the most appealing?
I think the Phoenix Suns, clearly, for Kevin Durant. But here, look, if I'm Sean Marks, I am not worried about capitulating to Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant at all. All I'm worried about is restocking the cupboard in Brooklyn and getting the most that I can. And that's why this whole thing I knew from the beginning was going to be very complicated. Because if you're Kevin Durant and you're just going to put together this two-team wish list, well, they might not have the assets that you want in return if you're Sean Marks, those two franchises. So I think it's going to take a little bit of time to try to figure this out. And that's why other teams are going to have to be involved in this, because I don't think either of those teams, unless you include Devin Booker, have enough assets to get back what you think is an appropriate return for Kevin Durant. So I think there's a good chance this lingers for a while. Ultimately, maybe Kevin Durant ends up in Phoenix. I think that would be the best place for him to go, to a franchise that hasn't won. I think that's the one thing he could do to potentially redeem some of the things that are being said about him and the way that he has been criticized in going to ready-made winners. At least you go to a franchise that has no history of winning championships.
The name that was not on any of that screen and has not been a part of this conversation at all, Zach Lowe, of course, is the name Kyrie Irving. Where does all of this leave him?
Floating in space, if space exists, or if the Earth exists, or is this all just a construction of our eyes? But he's waiting on Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is priority number one. And to Legg's point and Tim's point, this is why we have three and four team trades, because it's effectively impossible for one team to give the Brooklyn Nets fair value for Kevin Durant. And that's why a lot of these constructions fall apart, because they get too complicated. Kyrie right now is in a holding period. The Lakers make by far the most sense. That just comes down to how much draft compensation LA is willing to send to the Nets. But the longer this goes, the more likely it is they show up to camp, because I think Brooklyn, to Tim Bontemps' point, like, what do they have to lose? Come to camp and don't play? Hold out? We're going to be bad anyway once we trade you. We'll be bad that way, and then we'll trade you for what we want. So I think this is going to take a while, and if it takes a while, a mystery team or two is going to at least knock on the Kyrie Irving door and see how plausible it is.
The other thing with Bobby's trade, DeAndre Ayton is sitting out there, not signed yet. Donovan Mitchell's situation obviously is percolating. Those things start to move. That makes a Kevin Durant trade that much harder.
Ayton to Indiana, and as you said earlier this morning, Donovan Mitchell very likely to the New York Knicks, which would take those names off of the screen and make the rest of it almost impossible to do. But let me ask you this then, Bontemps. Because if I'm the Lakers, I'm watching the situation play out. I've got an aging LeBron. I've got an always questionable Anthony Davis, right, if you will. What role do they play in all of this? Because if I'm them, I'm doing everything I can to try and get Kyrie Irving out of this. And if I need to do it quickly, I'll do it quickly.
Yeah, to Zach's point, they're interested observers. They're not able to get in the game here because they are desperate enough to want to have Kyrie Irving in the first place. That's because they don't have other options. Unlike Donovan Mitchell or DeAndre Ayton, they're not going to have Kyrie Irving go off the board because no one else is going to go after him. So they're going to be waiting like everyone else to see what happens with Kevin Durant. If Kevin Durant's in Brooklyn, I think Kyrie Irving will be too.
Well, I guess I'm asking you about the order here, which is to say, could you trade? I guess you could do anything you wanted.
Sure.
Sitting here
it's
as
NBA.
I'm not an insider. I'm just an observer.
Yeah.
It wouldn't make any sense to me to trade Kyrie Irving until you trade Kevin Durant, because if the outcome of all of this is that Durant comes back, you need to have Irving. So could you see a scenario in which Irving gets traded to the Lakers before the Durant situation is resolved?
No, not at all. And that's the thing. The Lakers don't have enough to go get anybody. Like, if they could overwhelm the Nets with a huge offer for Kyrie Irving, maybe the Nets would do it and then deal with the fallout of trading Kevin Durant. But the Lakers are sort of sitting there saying, we have a little bit to give you and Russell Westbrook and a couple picks because we can't use that to get anything else that's worthwhile. So they have to wait and see what happens with Kevin Durant, because if the Nets are going to make this work with Kevin, they're going to need him and Kyrie both on the team.
Put a final thought to it for me, Legs.
Yeah, look, I think that looking at this four-team trade possibility, I find it very interesting, mostly because I look at Utah and I think, man, that's what you would end up with after having this team you were trying to contend with, and you were in the mix in the Western Conference with Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, two All-Stars, and a Defensive Player of the Year, and you would end up with a bunch of draft picks and Ben Simmons. Maybe they think because Ben Simmons had 40-plus in that building last year that he could do that every night. I'm not so sure about that. So I think from Utah's perspective, I think that would be something that they wouldn't be that interested in doing. That just puts everything too far off into the future and too uncertain what you are going to become after having, you know, a number of years here where they've been a very successful franchise, even though they couldn't ultimately break through.
It's remarkable. I'm old enough to remember when Ben Simmons was going to be the next LeBron James, and now he's sort of an afterthought in this huge trade, and still that young that he could still wind up completely rewriting that narrative. We'll see. Coming up to the NFL, we will go. We have the very surprising reason that Patrick Mahomes may be better off this season, even though he lost his star wide receiver. Plus, will it be Steel Pity in Pittsburgh this season, or are the Steelers actually better off without Big Ben? Those are the questions. We got all the answers. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
All right, and what you are seeing here is Tiger Woods getting set to tee off this morning at the legendary Old Course at St. Andrews, the birthplace of the game. Tiger, who has won the Open Championship on this golf course, will tee off at the end of this hour in quest for his 16th major championship. What a story it would be if he is in significant contention this weekend, and we'll certainly be following his progress as the day goes on. In the meantime, we work our way back to the NFL. A little game of better or worse. I'll give you a quarterback. You tell me if he will be better or worse this season. Jeff Darlington, Tom Brady, better or worse this year?
I'm saying worse, but there's a serious caveat here. I don't think we give him enough credit for what happened in 2021 when he had career highs in passing yards. He led the NFL in touchdowns and put up a season statistically that generally results in an MVP year. I'm going to say worse, but I would say worse even if he was a 26-year-old coming off of one of his best seasons. So worse, but not bad.
That's understandable and well explained. Canty, Aaron Rodgers, better or worse?
He's going to be better, Greedy. And what I mean by that is not necessarily production, but more high-level winning, especially when it matters most in the postseason. He's got a couple of things working against him, new offensive coordinator, and he lost Devontae Adams, the best receiver in the National Football League. But I think those things lend themselves to more variety in the offense, more balance, A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones taking pressure on him. Big question mark is the health of the two offensive tackles, seeing if those guys can bounce back. If they can, he'll be better.
Okay. You know I think that's crazy. Brooke, will Patrick Mahomes be better or worse this season?
I think he's going to be better, and I know what you're thinking, but he lost Tyreek Hill. Are you sure? Yeah, I'm sure, because the biggest criticism of Patrick Mahomes last season was that he needed to get back to the basics. When you lose a guy like Tyreek Hill, who you could do all those things with, that forces you to get back to the basics. I think he's better because of it.
Okay, so hold on. I need to call a timeout. Get Darlington in here. All right, again, I'm just an observer of the passing scene. But generally speaking, it has been my observation, teams and players don't get better when their best players walk out the door. So Tyreek Hill walks out the door. How does Patrick Mahomes get better without a guy who, in his own right, is the most dynamic threat in the NFL?
Well, Greeny, he's still got some pretty good pieces around him. Think about this. Travis Kelce is the best tight end in the National Football League. Well, according to Jeremy Fowler's list, he's the second best tight end in the National Football League, but pretty good. But he's also got Andy Reid. And since Andy Reid has been there, the Kansas City Chiefs have been a really good football team. You're talking about six consecutive division titles. You're talking about making the postseason eight of the last 9 years. This team is going to have an opportunity to compete at a high level. Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes are good enough to be able to figure out life without Tyreek Hill.
I understand that, but I didn't ask you if they were going to be good. I asked you if he's going to be better, and you're saying he's going to, well, you said, Brooke, that he's
that was me, yeah.
Well, you said he's going to be better, and the same way that you said that Aaron Rodgers is going to be better with Devontae Adams. And again, all I am is an observer, but that sounds ridiculous to me.
Look, I think, based on conversations I've had with folks in the organization, people who know what was going on behind the scenes, I think that this is a situation of addition by subtraction. I think that maybe there were some cracks that were forming between Tyreek Hill relationship with the Chiefs, with Patrick Mahomes, and you can see that in the podcast conversations that he's had this summer. When he says something like, they've got to get me the pill, they've got to get me the ball, I looked, he had 159 targets last year, the most that he's had in Kansas City, 111 receptions, and he needs to get the ball more. I mean, I think that there was some discontent there. You lose him, you add in a young guy like Sky Moore, you add in Juju Smith-Schuster. I just think it's going to be a better vibe overall, and I think that this is going to work out better for Mahomes.
Well, that is an interesting wrinkle. Darlington, what do we think?
Look, I've talked to Patrick Mahomes about this, and I understand his optimism, and I'm not challenging in the sense that I know more than him. He absolutely does. He thinks that he's going to have these big-bodied receivers that he can spread the ball around to, and I agree. I think that he can be successful in a different way, and he believes that for sure. The only thing that I would challenge there is it's really good to have the big-bodied receivers and also a guy to go over the top to kind of pull that coverage back. So I'm with you, sort of. I think it's tough to remove a guy like Tyreek Hill and be better, but I will say that Patrick Mahomes thinks that he can be better in a different way, if that makes sense.
Well, it's one thing to be different. It's another thing entirely to be better, and I would say the same thing about what's happening in Green Bay. Let me leave that there for the moment because there's another situation I want to get to, and, Brooke, it's one you're very familiar with. That's in Pittsburgh, as you are our Steelers beat reporter and insider, a team in search of a new quarterback, of course, after the retirement of Ben Roethlisberger. Now, our colleague, our buddy RG3, was on the SiriusXM Blitz program. He made some fascinating comments on Pittsburgh's quarterback situation. Speaking of getting better after losing a legend, he said, I believe that Mitchell Trubisky, Kenny Pickett, even Mason Rudolph at this point would give the Steelers more than Big Ben did last year. I firmly believe that. So, Brooke, again, I will start with you as you are as close to the situation as can be. Some might say, well, that sounds ridiculous. What do you think?
I firmly believe that, too, because look, what you got last year with Ben Roethlisberger was Ben at the end of his career. It's not like he's saying Mitch Trubisky is going to be better than Ben in the prime of his career. I think that with the quarterbacks this year, A, they're more mobile, they're younger, they're more adaptable to Matt Canada's offense. I think that there was a struggle last season between what Ben Roethlisberger wanted to do, what Matt Canada wanted to do. They didn't mesh all the time, and it just created a lot of very frustrating, stagnant offensive situations. Now you get a guy in there, any of the three of them can stretch the field. Maybe not super accurately, but they can do it.
What do you think, Andy?
No, she's absolutely right. There's been a ceiling over the Pittsburgh Steelers offense for the last few years because Ben Roethlisberger, since the arm surgery, hasn't been able to throw the ball down the field, especially outside of the numbers. Not only does that limit productivity in the passing game, but it also changes the looks you face in the run game, limiting that aspect of your football team as well. So I do think that Trubisky or Kenny Pickett could offer a bump in terms of overall production offensively. The biggest question I have is that reshaped offensive line and how that's going to play out. Because, listen, if you're putting a young quarterback behind a suspect offensive line, it's not going to be good for anybody.
The young quarterback would be Kenny Pickett, but Mitch Trubisky, who I think will get the first crack at starting, is not quite as young. And coming out of Buffalo, where he's got some of the similar skill sets. I'm not comparing him to Josh Allen. Obviously, he's nowhere near Josh Allen, but some of the similar set of skills, if you will, and we'll see if they're able to utilize those in Pittsburgh. Jeff Darlington, how about the Steelers and their new quarterback situation?
I'm going to steal a phrase that you used when we were talking about the Chiefs. You can be different, but it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be better. And that's the wonder I have here. I do agree that Big Ben was holding this team back in many ways. And it's not necessarily a knock on him. Like you said, it was the end of his career. They did the respectful thing by bringing him back. I just wonder if Mitch Trubisky or if Kenny Pickett is ready or if any of these quarterbacks are able to actually take the Steelers to a place that Big Ben wasn't. And that would be obviously a great thing if they did.
Yeah, and well, that is the question. Can this team make a significant playoff run? They have made the playoffs each of the last 2 years, right, but didn't win a game in either of them. And last year only got in because they've added a playoff team at the end. They made the playoffs but didn't have the feel of a legitimate contender. The question is, can this team be a legitimate contender this year? I am of the opinion the answer is yes. I don't know how popular an opinion that generally is, Chris Canty, but I'm of the opinion that this team with that defense, with Najee Harris, with that receiving core, and just enough quarterback play, I am of the opinion the Steelers are a legitimate playoff team this year.
They still got Mike Tomlin.
They still got the best.
They still got the reigning defensive sack champ 2 years in a row with T.J. Watt, Cam Hayward, Minka Fitzpatrick. Yeah, this team can make the playoffs, and they can win playoff games. I'm buying into the Pittsburgh Steelers. You're talking about a franchise since 2016 that's got three division titles, four playoff appearances, and they've never finished worse than second in the AFC North. Let that sink in for a minute. I can't dismiss the Pittsburgh Steelers as a true contender, and we'll have to see what happens at the quarterback position, but that defense is going to give that offense a lot of runway to figure things out.
That actually is a good place for me to leave it here with you, Brooke. What is the expectation relative to the quarterback situation? They bring in Trubisky. He's getting some money, but not huge money. They draft Pickett in the first round. Mason Rudolph is still there. What is the expectation as far as the pecking order?
I mean, Greeny, from the conversations that I've had with the organization, I believe that Mitch Trubisky is going to be the starting quarterback. He's kind of the starting quarterback until further notice. And that's also based on what I saw in OTAs and minicamps. Mitch Trubisky has taken first-team reps every single time. Mason Rudolph second, Kenny Pickett third. Yes, they're trying to be methodical in the way they bring Kenny Pickett along, but they're not going to rush him. They don't have a bad option in Mitch Trubisky to start, and he doesn't have to be the one to take them to the playoffs, to take them to a run. That guy could be Najee Harris. Mitch Trubisky just has to give them something better than what they had a year ago.
All right, we'll keep an eye on all of that. In the meantime, more football as we continue in just a moment, because the most desirable free agent in the entire sport has put together a list. And wait until you hear which team is right at the top. I'll give you a spoiler alert. It's exactly the team you think it is. We'll talk about what it means. And then hold everything. A voice that you know and admire makes a huge statement about Steph as the GOAT. Wait till you hear this. Dominic Foxworth was so intrigued, he's got to jump into the conversation, and he will next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We're back on Get Up. It's time for a game of NBA fact or fiction. Hey, Zach Lowe, the Knicks are a playoff team with Donovan Mitchell. Is that fact or fiction?
I'm scared to say it, but I'm going tentatively fact. Obviously, it depends what they give up, but fact through the play-in tournament. I just think Chicago with Lonzo's injuries, Brooklyn's in disarray, Atlanta's got to figure out its team again. I think there's a window for the Knicks to get in. Fact.
I like it. That'll keep people excited here. Legs, if Kyrie joins the Lakers, they become championship contenders. Is that fact or fiction?
I think that's a fact. I know there's a lot of baggage that comes with Kyrie and a lot of uncertainty with Kyrie, but the one thing you cannot deny is this guy has electric talent. And if you pair him with LeBron James and Anthony Davis, for me, you'd be silly not to think that the Los Angeles Lakers can contend in the Western Conference.
All right, and then Dominique Foxworth, jump in here with me. If I said the Nets are a championship team if they keep KD and Kyrie, would that be fact or fiction?
Well, I feel like that's fiction, and I understand what Legs is saying about Kyrie's talent, but the inconsistency and the unpredictability of both him and Ben Simmons, like, that makes me very scared, because they're two of their big three are guys that it seems like in recent history you can't rely on. They got a coach in Steve Nash who I assume is getting better, but was definitely outcoached by Ime Udoka in the first round of playoffs last year, so it's hard for me to see them with the defense that they play being a legitimate competitor if they bring those guys back.
All right, well, we'll see. It still might be their best bet. In the meantime, all of this really begins because Kevin Durant has requested a trade. The commissioner, Adam Silver, spoke to the media at the NBA Summer League and talked about the issue of players demanding trades. Here's what he said.
This needs to be a two-way street. Teams provide enormous security and guarantees to players, and the expectation is in return that they'll meet their end of the bargain. I'm realistic that there's always conversations that are going to go on behind closed doors between players and their representatives and teams, but we don't like to see players requesting trades, and we don't like to see it playing out the way it is.
Look, I love the fact that he said that, to be completely honest with you. And let's just, I mean, Kevin Durant signed a contract extension last year willingly. He didn't have to. He extended his contract. Legs, what are you not hearing? I think Legs is not hearing what we are saying. So, Zach Lowe, I'll come to you. What do you make of Adam Silver saying that, and what, if anything, might change about the current situation?
Well, certainly he's speaking on behalf of team governors who are very anxious about what is happening. Look, trade requests, they've been a fabric of the NBA for a long time, a part of the fabric, and teams tend to do well when their players request trades, even if it's unpleasant. The slippery slope to me is what happens in situations where a player doesn't want to be there, doesn't officially request a trade because it's against the rules to do that, but everyone knows what's going on. And all of a sudden, you know, the player's back hurts, or the player's effort starts to slack off, or the player starts to make noise about, you know, I need to get my knee cleaned out. Those are really difficult ethical issues because you cannot doubt players when they say that they're injured or hurt. That's just not okay. And in the NBA, we have guaranteed contracts. And I think there's been some push among the governors to say, is there some middle ground between guaranteed contracts and NFL-style non-guaranteed contracts, which are obviously a non-starter for the players? That's really tricky to find something where you get more money depending on how many games you play, or lose money depending on how many games you miss. Those are really really, really difficult issues, some of which are blood issues for the players union, but this is not going away, and there's a lot of different flavors. It's not just official trade requests. It's a lot of other flavors of this.
Yeah, and load management was another piece of it, sort of a peripherally connected piece to this that Silver brought up when he had that press conference the other day. Dominique Foxworth, the reason I wanted you in this conversation is you have the unique perspective of having been in a leadership position not only with the NFL Players Association, where they have all of their contractual stuff, but also in the NBA Players Association. So you understand all of this. To what degree do you think this is a concern?
I mean, I think that we can't disagree with Adam Silver that none of us really want all of this, like, player demands and player movement. The game is more fun when the player is there in a specific location and we get to know them. But the problem that I have with it is this always ends up as a conversation that kind of comes down to the players and blames them for the result, when it's actually a result of the system. When you have, like, limits or caps on the amount of salary that players can receive, a lot of the power that they have, a guy like Kevin Durant is more valuable than the salary that they're paying him. If you're not going to pay him in salary, then he's going to take his payment in power and forcing his way in different locations. So I think those things go hand in hand. And then you compound it by the fact that they complain about load management, but we already have an 82-game season where a lot of the games are irrelevant, with like half of the teams making the playoffs. So that's what bothers me, is that the kind of blame and ire of the fans and also of executives comes down on the players when the players are just like properly responding to the way that the incentives are set up in the current structure. So if they are willing to remove some of those impediments, like salary caps and max salaries, I think that players would be less likely to move along from team to team and use their power in the way that they have.
It's interesting, and I think fair in every way. Legs, you played in the league a long time. What do you think?
Well, I think, listen, for the most part, it's a moot point because that ship sailed. I think when you look at the history of team sports, there's never been a group of athletes that have had more power than NBA players do now. And it's taken a long time to get to that point. They're not going to give it up. I think the only way you could potentially ever see this change would be a really long, protracted holdout, lockout, whatever it may be, where you might miss half an NBA season, because this is a topic that I think the owners would have to be willing to really fall on that sword in order to make this happen, and willing maybe to give up an entire season to try to get this somehow changed. I just don't think the players union would ever budge even one inch on this, because players have more flexibility, control, and power than they have ever had, and they're not giving that up easily.
Okay, that's fair enough. Let's leave it there, because I don't think the fans really want to hear this. I think it's an important and interesting topic, but I think the fans will be more interested in what Bobby Marks said yesterday. Let's turn it into a fun conversation. We're a month removed from the Warriors winning the championship, Steph Curry getting his fourth ring, and being named the Finals MVP. So then Bobby Marks goes on This Just In this week, and he was talking about Steph Curry's place in the GOAT conversation. Listen to this and watch David Jacoby's reaction.
I'm going to stun you with this take here. I actually think Steph Curry is the second best player of all time, right behind Michael Jordan. Curry has this instinct, what I saw with Jordan, where anytime he has the ball, you think it's going to go in. I would put Curry ahead of LeBron James right now, as far as that number two guy.
I think David spoke for all of us with those faces when he was like, I can't believe that we're wading into this, but here we are. Zach Lowe, this is your area of expertise. What do you think of that take?
My eyebrows just got singed from the flames coming through the television screen. Oh, my God, Bobby Marks. Look, I think the discussion on Steph Curry has actually been corrected to rate him properly. I think all his enthusiasm after this fourth ring is appropriate. I thought he was historically a little bit underrated before. But number two, Bobby, put down the mojito poolside at whatever hotel you're staying at in Vegas. Part of the all-time rankings has to be about longevity. LeBron James is very likely going to be the all-time leading scorer in the history of the NBA. He's going to be top five in assists. He's one of the greatest passers of all time. At his peak, He was one of the greatest perimeter slash big man, whatever you want to call him, defenders of all time. Before you even get into Kareem and Wilt and Russell and Magic and all the players that are in that stratosphere, a stratosphere where Steph belongs, I just can't. I mean, LeBron James is there with MJ, and they sit in a tier, I think, above everybody else except for maybe Kareem. I love Steph. He's got a top 10 case now. This is a little too much for me.
Legs, how about you?
Yeah, I agree with so much of what Zach just said. I'll say this. When you start talking about anticipation and what you're about to watch when you sit down and watch an NBA game, I think Steph Curry possesses more of that element than any player since Michael Jordan, that must-see TV element. I think Steph Curry, for me personally, it's very subjective, he is the closest thing to Jordan in terms of that. I got to see this guy if he's playing tonight. But when you start talking about ranking guys and where they are on the historical list, yeah, I don't think you can put him ahead of LeBron James. I think it's a two-man conversation for the greatest player of all time, and I don't think it's going to be a long conversation because I think it's Michael Jordan, but I think LeBron James is the only other guy that I think you can make a legitimate debate for as the greatest player of all time other than MJ. So I don't think Steph's in that category, but I think he has ascended to top 10 status for sure. And again, box office, man, Steph Curry to me, that's what you want to bring every single night because you just don't know what you're about to watch.
Meek, what do you think?
Yeah, I think the globalization of the game has increased the talent in basketball, which is why I give my nod to LeBron James even over Michael Jordan. Steph Curry's not in the conversation right now. I think that we can do it like superlatives in the yearbook. Like, he's the greatest of all time when it comes to shooting. He's the greatest of all time when it comes to box office, according to Legs. Like, he's the greatest of all. He changed the game more than anybody else, speaking of Steph Curry. But he's not just the flat-out GOAT, and he's certainly not above LeBron James. If you're going to put anybody at two, it's going to be LeBron James. It's not going to be Steph Curry.
Okay, we'll see. One way or another, Bobby Marks weighing in, and I myself am here for it. I hope that you are here for our next WNBA action, actually. We got that coming up. We got Asia Wilson and the Aces in Connecticut. We will see them Sunday. That'll be 1 Eastern on ABC and on the ESPN app. We get back to football coming up next. Peyton's Places. Which coaches need to be looking over their shoulders this year? Sean Payton has a list of three teams he's interested in joining. I bet give you one guess which team is at the top of the list. You'll hear it next. Get up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
I don't know the question you're trying to ask.
Be better tomorrow.
I'm not answering that. That's a clown question, bro.
Next.
Mike, why are you in such a bad mood?
What do you care?
What else do you want to know?
Next question.
I'm not going to answer any questions from you.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
It is the time I look forward to so much when I propose a series of hard-hitting, provocative questions to that man, Dominic Foxworth, and he has to answer them whether he's ready or not. All right, here we go. So we've talked about this morning, Neek. You got Tom Brady, you got Aaron Rodgers, you got Patrick Mahomes. These three legendary quarterbacks, all of them lost their favorite receiver this offseason. Of those three, which one will miss their guy the most?
I think it's got to be Patrick Mahomes. Not only is Tyreek Hill, in my view, the most impactful of any of those receivers that they're going to be losing, Patrick Mahomes is the only one who has not seen success without this weapon. So obviously Tom Brady, he's made it happen with a lot of different people. Aaron Rodgers, the same is true. He's been one of the best quarterbacks in this league for his entire career, and there's been a number of receivers there. And for Patrick Mahomes, as great as he's been, he's only been in a world that exists with that game, with that defensive breaking weapon that is Tyreek Hill. So he might struggle a little bit, but I think he's going to be fine in the end of the day.
Okay, I like that one. Next, I'm going to give you a basketball question. Who does KD play for this coming season?
Oh, man, if I knew, I'd go to the sports books. But, I think that the Nets is probably, based on what we've heard about what Sean Marks is asking for, if he's being honest, if it's not some sort of negotiation ploy, then he's going to stay in Brooklyn and play for the Nets again, which I wouldn't hate. I don't think that they become title contenders because it takes a lot to win a championship in the NBA, but they certainly remain one of the more interesting stories, especially when they get Ben Simmons back, if Ben Simmons comes back. When they get Ben Simmons, I guess they don't get him back if they've never had him. Ben Simmons on the floor, it's going to be a fun team to watch.
They get him. We'll see. Ben Simmons, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, we've never had a chance to see it. I'm with you. I hope we do. All right, one more. Back to football. Will this be Mike McCarthy's last year coaching Dallas?
My original instinct is to say yes, but then I think back over Jerry Jones's track record. That is a loyal man. He is loyal to a fault, some might say. He doesn't fire coaches very often. Like, I think maybe he learned from his riff with Jimmy Johnson back in the day, but he is going to stick with his guy. He was with Jason Garrett longer than any of us thought he should be, and I think the same is probably going to be true of Mike McCarthy. He's probably going to be the coach of this team for the remainder of this season and next season.
Well, we'll see. Obviously, there's a season to be played before we get the answer to that. But this comes up today because of a story from Barry Jackson in the Miami Herald. And I'll make sure everyone knows the credibility here. He's covered the league for over three decades. And he wrote yesterday that Sean Payton has a wish list, has a list of teams he'd be interested in coaching next year. And the Dolphins, the Cowboys, and the Chargers are on that list. Those are the three teams, and it goes through a variety of reasons why he likes those. But, Nika, I'll come to you on it again quickly here. I mean, Mike McCarthy didn't even get to the first day of training camp before the first reports about Sean Payton begin. How do you think that impacts all of this?
Yeah, I mean, being a head coach in the NFL is going to put you under a lot of pressure. So adding Sean Payton looming over your shoulder should not impact it at all. But I don't know. I guess it depends on how this season goes. If it goes like last season, maybe you could be looking for a change there. But if I'm Sean Payton, that's not the team that I'm looking to go to. Like, I feel like the Chargers is a more attractive opportunity because of the obvious quarterback advantage that they have out there. And frankly, just a talent advantage roster-wise. Maybe a tough division, but I think coaching the Chargers would be more attractive for offensive-minded coach like Sean Payton.
Well, that's an interesting one. And Chris Canty, you couldn't see it on television, but as Neek was talking about McCarthy remaining, you were shaking your head vigorously, suggesting you think this will be his last year.
No doubt about it. And Neek is talking about Jerry Jones' loyalty. Let's keep this in mind. He hired Jason Garrett before he hired Wade Phillips to be the head coach. Mm-hmm. And then he bounced Wade Phillips shortly thereafter. He might have been loyal to Jason Garrett because Jason played for him. But Jerry Jones has a short hook when he's not getting what he's looking for from the head coach in the way of his team's results. And he's running out of time in terms of being able to get a championship with this core of players. So I could see a world where Jerry Jones thinks he can upgrade from Mike McCarthy to Sean Payton if Sean expresses that he wants to coach in 2023, and Sean Payton wanting to go back and play and coach at that organization because he was once upon a time the offensive coordinator there. So I do think that relationship, being a former employee, will factor into Sean's decision to coach next year.
Brooke Pryor, what do you think of it all?
I think the Chargers are the most attractive for him. When you look at what Barry Jackson said that he wants warm weather, and he wants to have a lot of control over personnel decisions. Jerry Jones is not exactly the most giving guy when it comes to, hey, you know what? Why don't you do this? I'm going to sit this one out. That's not the Jerry Jones way. And yes, there is trust with Sean Payton because of their history, but I think that if he wants to have more control, go to LA. Like Dominique mentioned, look at the roster. I mean, you've got Justin Herbert, Bosa, Mack. I started to write down the names before we started, and I kept going. I think I'd go to the Chargers if I'm
just a quick point about that. Jerry Jones has never been afraid to pay what it costs in order to field a competitive team.
Right.
There have been issues in the past with that Chargers ownership group, and there's some bickering between the brother and sister that actually own the team. So that's something to watch for. But the other thing, Bill Parcells, Sean Payton, he's a disciple of Coach Parcells. When Parcells was with the Dallas Cowboys, he ran the entire operation from personnel to coaching. Jerry would have to afford Sean that same latitude in order to get him to come be the coach.
It's also worth pointing out the Dolphins are on the list. They have a new coach who hasn't even coached a game yet. So this is where the National Football League is on this July 14th. All right, Nick is getting set to go do First Take, which is coming up top of the hour here. They'll answer a bunch of questions, including, should the Knicks include R.J. Barrett in a trade for Donovan Mitchell? Plus, what leverage does KD have to force a trade out of Brooklyn? First Take answering those questions, top of the hour here on ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, we'll wrap it up with the biggest story in sports. 2 weeks now since Kevin Durant requested a trade from the Nets. Yesterday on NBA Today, Bobby Marks proposed a really interesting four-team trade that just might work, and it would result in Kevin Durant winding up in Phoenix. The Nets in the trade would get Donovan Mitchell, who himself is probably on his way out of Utah. You see some of the other names on that screen. DeAndre Ayton would wind up in Indiana. He's been sort of rumored to be headed in that direction, and the Jazz would be starting all over again and would get Ben Simmons. So, Tim Bontemps, what are the most important things as we consider that? And then also the possibility that Donovan Mitchell winds up in New York with the Knicks, which has long been suspected, and you've been talking about it today. What are the most important things the basketball fans should be thinking about as they head into this day?
Well, as you said, the Kevin Durant trade proposal trade request has been the thing hanging over the NBA and the sports world for the past 2 weeks, right, since he made that request. That is obviously the first thing. And secondarily to that is what happens with Donovan Mitchell and DeAndre Ayton, because that will both potentially impact what happens with Kevin Durant. Donovan Mitchell obviously is the kind of young star the Nets would love to get. In Bobby Marks' trade proposal here, they would get him. That would obviously be a nice way for them to recover from losing Durant. But if Donovan Mitchell goes to, say, the Knicks, that's a piece off the board. DeAndre Ayton is the same thing. If he signs an offer sheet with the Indiana Pacers, which he could do at any time, they have the cap space to do it, that takes him out of any potential trades with the Nets, really hurts the Phoenix Suns' chances of getting him in a potential deal. So Kevin Durant hangs over everything, but Donovan Mitchell and DeAndre Ayton are key parts of what's going on in the NBA right now.
And that's why all this talk that you and Zach Lowe and others keep telling me, this is going to take a while, it's going to take a while. Well, there's a level of urgency to me to all of that, to your point, because Donovan Mitchell doesn't remain available forever, and neither does DeAndre Ayton. How about it, Zach Lowe? What do you think?
I think that trade from Bobby is really interesting. The question to me is, what does Utah want? Do they want Ben Simmons or do they not care? Do they just want those draft picks? Because Phoenix draft picks, if they age up their team in a Durant trade, they could actually become pretty valuable down the line. And the Nets, I just worry the Nets look at that deal and say, hey man, Donovan Mitchell's awesome. Mikal Bridges is really good. We're trading Kevin Durant and Ben Simmons all of a sudden. I'm not sure we're getting enough. As Wendy likes to say, 3- and 4-team trades, they sometimes collapse under the weight of their own complexity. I think we got to buckle up here for a while.
How about it, Legs? I mean, Donovan Mitchell obviously is a huge piece in all of this. Kyrie Irving's name wasn't even on that screen, but he's a piece of all of this. How do you see it all?
Yeah, I love how interesting this all is, including these four teams, but I think ultimately Utah would be the one to reject this. When you look at the other three teams, I mean, listen, clearly DeAndre Ayton is an upgrade over Miles Turner, so Indiana gets better. At least Brooklyn would have a young star to start the rebuild process around with Donovan Mitchell. Phoenix obviously then becomes a legitimate title contender with Kevin Durant. But where is Utah at the end of that? A bunch of picks off into the future that are really uncertain and a bit of a crapshoot, and you're left with Ben Simmons as your marquee guy. To me, that's why Utah ultimately would not be involved in this.
Yeah, Utah, to the point that you've made and everyone has made here, they probably like what the Knicks can offer a lot more than what anyone else can offer.
What have we seen over the course of history? If you have Knicks draft picks in your control, works out pretty good for you. The Knicks have 8 first-round picks.
Boo.
They can trade more than any team in the league. I think the Knicks have been fiending after a guy like Donovan Mitchell for years. They've been preparing for this moment. I think that's where he's going to wind up.
This could be that. And again, once Mitchell goes off the board, if Mitchell goes off the board, then that puts a lot of this stuff on the back burner. Awesome day today. Thank you so much for getting up. We'll see you back at Better Than Ever. Same time tomorrow. The fun continues with First Take right now.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.